looking at Psalm 23, or taking our thought from there. We've been in verse 2. Next week we'll go to verse 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters. We see he leadeth me beside the still waters. It's a picture of you and I following the Lord. And if we do, we will experience still waters. We've looked at what that means to follow the Lord. It's not something we do occasionally. It's to be our life. Last week we looked at some requirements to follow the Lord, some things that are absolutely necessary if we're going to follow Him. We'll mention those and then move on. Requires, of course, a personal recognition and awareness of the Lord. We do not follow blindly. People talk about blind faith. That's not really accurate. We do not follow the Lord blindly. The world thinks we do, but we know better. Also requires a personal desire for God. One is not going to follow the Lord consistently if they do not have a desire to do so. And we know that the more we follow, the more our desire increases. Because as we follow the Lord, we experience those still waters. Therefore, we desire Him. If someone doesn't have a saved person that doesn't have a desire for the Lord, it's because they're not following. If they followed, they would have that desire. It necessitates a conviction of our own need. We have to be thoroughly persuaded that we need the Lord. We need the Lord in all things. And if we're thoroughly persuaded of that, we'll have no problem following the Lord. We also have to be convicted of His excellency and His sufficiency, not only of our own need, but that He has what we need. That has to be a very firm persuasion, because the world will tell us from every angle that the world is what we need. But we need to know that God has what I need. And the result is we follow. Has to be a delight in the Lord. And again, the more we follow, that feeds delight. Delight feeds desire. It's just a cycle. Requires an experience of the Lord. Following the Lord is always a wonderful experience. I've never had a bad experience following the Lord. Never. It's always a wonderful experience to follow the Lord, and you have, as you follow God, you experience, personally experience the Lord. And if we look back on our lives, we will see that the happiest we've ever been is when we were following the Lord, when we just let go of everything and followed the Lord. It also necessitates a willingness to follow. Again, this is a cycle. The Lord doesn't drag us. We follow willingly. We ought to pray every day that God would give us a willingness to follow Him. It also requires a denial of self. We're not going to do any of these things without denying ourselves. And then it requires a taking up of the cross, which does not happen apart from denying ourselves. But what we want to realize is the path in which God leads and these waters, these still waters, they go together. You do not experience the still waters apart from He leadeth me. You do not experience the still waters apart from following the Lord. See, the problem is people want to do their own thing and experience the still waters at the same time. It does not work that way. You follow the Lord, and you will experience the still waters. So the still waters are not experienced apart from His leading, apart from His following. And again, the Lord can lead us through the fire, through the raging rivers, but all along the way, there's still the still waters if we follow Him. Now, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We've seen as a picture of rest, it's a picture of spiritual refreshment, it's a picture of contentment. And the idea of the green pastures, the idea of the still waters, is pictured in the Word of God, and we want to look at that briefly today. First of all, it's pictured by the shadow of God. When we experience the shadow of God, that's the same thing as experiencing the green pastures and the still waters. Notice in Psalm 63, Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. And there's a sense in which the green pastures and the still waters are a secret place. The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now notice, the secret place and the shadow of the Almighty are connected. Do not have the one without the other. But you have the shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 49, verse 2. Notice the words, in the shadow of His hand hath He hid me. So we have the shadow of God. What's the shadow of God speak of? Well, it speaks of the nearness of God. There has to be a closeness to God if we're going to experience His shadow. Again, Psalm 23, verse 2, He maketh me. That implies nearness. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, the implication of nearness. If we want to experience the green pastures, we want to experience the still waters, we want to experience His shadow, there has to be a nearness of the Lord. The shadow speaks of His protection. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. That's protection. And when the shepherd makes his sheep lie down in green pastures, we've already seen that sheep do not lie down if they're fearful. They have to be free of fear. And what is it that frees them from fear? It's the presence, the nearness of the shepherd. So it is with you and I. There has to be this nearness, and then we're fearless, and we experience his protection and rest and refreshment. So it is a personal awareness of his nearness that produces the green pastures, that produces the still waters, the assurance of his protection. And the result is we have rest, we have contentment, we have peace, we have assurance, we have refreshment, we're refreshed. The green pastures refresh the sheep. The still waters refresh the sheep. The world does not refresh us, not spiritually. If we want spiritual refreshment, that only comes from the Lord. So he maketh me, he leadeth me. Speaks of the awareness of God. Also speaks of an experience of God. He maketh me, he leadeth me. And the result is green pastures and still waters. So there are special places for the child of God in this world. Places that are available to us. Places that are accessible to the child of God. Places where we experience the Lord. And if we want to experience the green pastures, we want to experience the still waters, you've got to be in that place. You've got to be in the place where you can experience the Lord. And they are not places produced by us. We don't produce the green pastures. We don't produce the still waters. They're not produced by us, but they do relate to the person and nearness of God. He maketh me, he leadeth me. Without him, we do not find these green pastures. We do not find these still waters. Also, the rest and refreshment that the child of God experiences in the green pastures and the still waters are portrayed in the experience of the Shulamite woman. Notice in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, I love these verses that we're about to read. But Song of Solomon 1 and verse 4, she says, "Draw me." That shows a desire and a delight in the Lord. It speaks of his leading. "Draw me. We will run after thee." That is, after we're drawn. Have cause and effect here. Then it says, "The king." Now I believe this is after she is drawn to him. It just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting better and better. Just like if you follow the world, it just keeps getting worse and worse. But you follow the Lord, it just gets better and better and better. She's drawn, and then it says, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." Brought me into his chambers. It goes along with, "He maketh me, he leadeth me." He brought me into his chambers. Now think about that term, his chambers. You're in someone's chambers. That is a place where you can become more aware of that person. When she is brought into his chambers, she is now in a place where she can become more aware of who he is. We ought to hunger for that place every day. The place where we become more aware of who he is. And in his chambers, That is a place where she experiences more of who he is. It's in his chambers that she can experience. And likewise, the green pastures and the still waters. These are special places. In his chambers, there's an intimate knowledge, more personal knowledge. We need something more than just biblical facts stashed away in our minds. We need intimate personal knowledge of the Lord. In his chambers, we have a more intimate personal knowledge of his power. It's one thing to be able doctrinally to describe the omnipotence of God. It's something completely different to know personally the power of the Lord, the wisdom of God, his holiness, his love. Again, people can talk almost in a flippant manner of the Lord's love, but it's something entirely different when you get into his chambers and you become personally aware of his love, personally aware of his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, his infinite goodness, his unending care, his glorious riches. All of these are displayed in his chambers. Notice also that in these chambers, we will be glad and rejoice. Where's gladness found? It's found in his chambers, a nearness to God. Where's rejoicing found? Same place. Again, happiness is not a pursuit. Happiness is a result. It is a result of a nearness to the Lord. And that rejoicing is what is pictured by the green pastures and the still waters. His chambers. Once again, this is not a place of our own producing. They're his chambers. They're his chambers. Try working up happiness. Just work it up. These are not things that are self-produced. Good picture. The chambers serve as an apt picture of the green pastures and the still waters. Notice also in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. So there's a delight in the Lord there. She realizes the sufficiency and the excellency of him. But then notice she says, I sat down under his shadow. Once again, there's nearness. I sat down under his shadow. This is her position relative to the Lord. I sat down under his shadow. In other words, there was a nearness that she could feel. I sat down under his shadow. She was near that tree. She was under that the shade of that tree. And there was rest. There was refreshment. And there is great rest and there is great refreshment to sit in the shadow of his strength. Because the shadow of his strength overshadows our feebleness. There's rest and refreshment to sit in the shadow of his riches because they overshadow our poverty. So many times we dwell upon our feebleness, we dwell upon our poverty, and we've got it backwards. What we need to do is sit under his shadow. Yes, we are feeble, but his strength overshadows our feebleness. Yes, we are poor, but his riches overshadow our poverty. His worthiness overshadows our unworthiness. We are unworthy. We're unworthy of anything. But his worthiness overshadows our worthiness. And when you feel the shade of his worthiness, you're not going to be depressed. You're going to rejoice. You're going to find delight in the Lord. But again, this rest and refreshment are not experienced apart from God. They're not experienced apart from a nearness to God. Just like the green pastures are not experienced apart from He maketh me to lie down. And just like the still waters are not experienced apart from He leadeth me. So you don't find these things away from God. You find these things close to the Lord. And then notice, he says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Which, chapter 1, verse 4, she found gladness and rejoicing. She said, I sat there with great delight. There's nothing miserable about being close to God. There's nothing miserable about following the Lord. It's all delight. It's all joy. What kills delight is following the world. What kills delight is doing things our own way, handling things in our own way. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And when he does, is there not great delight? When he leads us beside the still waters, is there not great delight? It's a picture of pleasure. Christian life is a life of pleasure. It's a life of enjoyment. It's a life of satisfaction, which again is pictured in the green pastures and the still waters. The truth is, we've said this many times, if we don't have joy, we don't have rejoicing, we don't have contentment, we're living wrong. You're doing it wrong. Just follow the Lord. Notice also that in this experience of the Shulamite woman, again, she's sitting under his shadow. She's filled with pleasure. There's a nearness. And then notice what it says. His fruit was sweet to my taste. His fruit. What is that? Well, it's what he offers us. It's what he offers us. God offers us his grace, his mercy, many things, but many times we're not in a position to receive it. And we see here that she's sitting under his shadow. And as she is, she's tasting his fruit, his grace, the food that he offers, his strength, his direction, his counsel. You know, many times people will say, well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just have no direction whatsoever from the Lord, so I'm just going to do it my way. Well, first of all, the first thing that ought to concern you is, why am I not receiving direction from God? It could be one of two things. Number one, you're not in a position to receive it. Number two, because of your position, he's offering counsel, but you're not in a condition, once again, to receive it. She tasted what he offered. And what is the result? Joy. And so it is with the green pastures and the still waters. Notice also, goes on to say, he brought me. That's basically the same thing as he leadeth me. Except, he brought me. Where did he bring me? To the banqueting house. He brought me to the banqueting house. This isn't a snack shop. It's a banquet. Big difference between a snack and a banquet. You go to a banquet, you don't get cheese and crackers. He brought me to the banqueting house. What you see here is it's getting better and better and better. She's gone now from tasting his fruit to being in the banqueting house, a place of feasting. But we do not have a banquet apart from I sat down under his shadow. It's all connected. Today, people want the banquet, but they don't want to sit under his shadow. Again, it's all connected with the Lord. And the green pastures and the still waters are not experienced apart from the Lord. Notice also in her experience, and his banner over me was love. She's feasting, and she's feeling his love. There is sweet heavenly rest and refreshment in him, in what he provides. And again, this is pictured in the green pastures and the still waters. So whatever the pain or trouble, whatever the problem, the children of God might be afflicted with, there are green pastures and there are still waters. And in those green pastures and still waters, there's strength, there's comfort, there's peace, there's assurance, there's satisfaction. But we must be aware that these are not experienced apart from the Lord. They are not experienced at a distance from God. He maketh me, he leadeth me. It is the Lord that directs to the green pastures. It is the Lord that directs to the still waters. So here's a very valuable lesson. Don't seek the green pastures. Don't seek the still waters. Seek the Lord. And if you seek the Lord, guess what? You'll find the green pastures. You'll find the still waters. You see, many times God's people, again, people all over are lost. People are always looking for happiness, and sadly, many of God's people too, that they're searching for the wrong thing. You need to search for the source of the happiness, and that's the Lord. So don't, may God help us not to seek the green pastures. Oh, we want the green pastures. Not to seek the still waters, and oh, we want the still waters. But if you want to be sure of those things, seek the Lord. Because that's where he leads. And then once again, this is all the days of my life. All the days of my life, there are green pastures, there are still waters. Not only is that so, but all the days of my life, I can lie down in green pastures and I can be walk beside the still waters. That's true every single day of my life. But it's not true apart from God. So the lesson is that we are to seek the Lord. And we will not be disappointed. You seek anything else, and you're going to be disappointed. But you seek God, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Keep our eyes upon the Lord. Next week, we'll begin looking at verse 3. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house with your people. We do thank you, Lord, for each one that is here today, that you would, we realize, Lord, that you've been gracious to each one, or we wouldn't be here. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for your protection through the week. We just pray that you'd be with us today in a very special way. That you'd help us, Lord, to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.